Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today's message is going to come from the 28th chapter of the book of Acts. And the thought for today's message is serving God regardless of the circumstances. And as we go through chapter 28, particularly the first 10 verses of chapter 28, you're going to see that Paul was in extreme circumstances, but he didn't let his circumstances affect his service. Now, it's easy for us to say that, oh, we love God enough and we're committed to God enough that regardless of the circumstances, we will continue to serve in the capacity that he's called us, in the calling that he's put upon our life, that we will continue. And that's easy to say that. And it's good that we would say that. However, we really don't know how we would react until we're put in those circumstances. Now, before we begin to read in chapter 28, in chapter 27, when the ship had docked at Fair Havens, Paul had warned the ship's captain, this is not a good time for us to be sailing. We need to winter here. We need to stay here. However, in the captain's eyes, Paul was just a prisoner. He was just a prisoner. And in the captain's eyes, he had cargo of that ship that needed to get to Italy, that needed to get to Rome. And there were other stops, I'm assuming, along the way that they needed to drop off cargo. And also, they needed to get these prisoners where they needed to go. Now, so if the ship's captain listened to Paul, then that would open the door for the captain would need to listen to the other prisoners. So in the captain's mind, Paul was just a prisoner. And God had not established that credibility with Paul quite yet. But then when the storm happens and they're cast out into sea and the angel of the Lord came and spoke to Paul and he shared that testimony with the crew of the ship, then credibility is established and they begin to listen to Paul on how they would survive this awful storm and then how would they would survive when they become shipwrecked. So then we get to chapter 28. And it says in verse 1, it says, and when they were escaped. Now, I have to keep in mind, these prisoners weren't escaping from the Roman centurion and the ship's captain. What it means is they had escaped the perils of the sea. They had escaped the awful waves, the awful wind and everything from the sea, and they had gotten up onto dry land. So it says, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita or Malta. Now, as we look here in verse 2, and it says, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now, we understand that the writer of this is Luke. He is the writer of the book of Acts. And notice how that he describes the natives of the island of Malta or Melita as barbarous or barbarians. Now, we don't know how they presented themselves, but we do know that they were very kind to these prisoners, the soldiers of the ship, the entire crew. They were very kind to them. Now, we do understand that possibly the reason that Luke described them as barbarians is they didn't share a common language with the Romans. They didn't share a common language with the Greeks, nor did they share the Greek or Roman customs. So that could have been why they were described as barbarous. But we do understand that they showed a lot of kindness to the crew of the ship. Now, we see how it's cold because we know it's either late fall or into the winter months, and it's raining. They had just been shipwrecked. They were wore out. At one point, they hadn't eaten for 14 days. I'm sure they were in pitiful shape. Now, we see what Paul's doing here in verse 3. And I'm going to read verse 3 in two parts here. It says, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks. Now, we have to keep in mind that Paul is traveling with a great number of prisoners, a great number of criminals. I'm sure there's murderers amongst Paul. I'm sure there's rapists amongst Paul. There's no telling what kind of criminals that is traveling with Paul. But in this verse, we see that Paul is gathering sticks for the fire. And what we need to think about is what Paul is not doing. He's shipwrecked. He is in extreme circumstances. What Paul is not doing, he's not pitching a pity party. He's not sulling up. He's not going off in a corner and saying, God, why me? You told me I was going to get to Rome. I'm going to get to Caesar, but here I am shipwrecked. No, Paul is not pitching a pity party. Another thing that Paul's not doing, he's not saying, okay, fellas, y'all should have listened to me way back at Fair Havens. If you would have listened to me, we wouldn't be in this situation. He's not accusing. He's not pointing a finger. And he's not saying, okay, I've got you here. We're saved. Every man fend for yourself. I'm going to take care of myself. You take care of yourself. Paul is not doing that. He's out gathering sticks to serve every one of that crew, be it the worst criminal, and be it the captain of the ship, the Roman centurion, the soldiers. He's out for the betterment of everyone. Now, human nature would have been to fend for yourself and not to serve other people. But regardless of what the circumstances were, Paul continued to serve because Paul understood that the Lord said, you are going to Rome. Paul understood that it did not matter what circumstances he was in. It did not matter what peril he was in. It did not matter what danger he was in. The Lord had spoke and said, you are going to Rome. And Paul understood that some way, somehow, he would arrive at Rome. So Paul kept serving. Paul was never about himself. He was about his fellow man. And he did not differentiate between how bad a criminal one person might have been over another. He didn't do that. He served them all equally. And then I think about at the Last Supper when the Lord washed feet. And we have to also understand that Judas Iscariot was also there. Did the Lord bypass Judas when he was washing feet? The Lord knew what Judas was going to do, but did the Lord bypass him? No, he did not. He served him. He showed humility toward him. And that's exactly what Paul's doing here in the shipwreck. So what we have to really think about is, what was Paul not doing? He wasn't pitching a pity party. He wasn't saying, okay, fellas, you fend for yourself. He wasn't doing any of that. He was serving everyone. Now, and it goes on, and it says, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now, and we notice that if we read on, that Luke describes this viper as venomous. So it was a very dangerous, dangerous, poisonous snake. And this clamps on to Paul's hand. And it says, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Now, here's the thing. The natives of the island automatically jumped to a conclusion that since this snake bit Paul, that they automatically assumed that he was a murderer, that vengeance had finally caught him, vengeance had been on his heels, vengeance had been following him, and vengeance and what he deserved eventually caught up to him. That's the assumption that the natives made. Don't we do the same thing? We'll see people and we'll make an assumption about people. We will judge a book by its cover and we'll say, no doubt they're getting what they deserve, when we don't know any of the background. We do the same thing. We really do. Now, and it says in verse 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. But notice what the natives do. They examine every little move that Paul makes. Maybe every little word that Paul makes. Don't we do the same thing? When there's someone that they think that we think they're getting what they deserve, we ridicule, we critique, and we examine every little move that they make. But so it says here, verse 6, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, they've jumped from one extreme to the other. Just a little while ago, he was no doubt a murderer. And there was no doubt the things that might have been said toward Paul. But then, after they saw that the serpent, that the viper, had no ill effects upon him, now they're looking at him as a god. And we understand that Paul was not a god, but he was representing the one true God to these natives that may have never heard of the gospel. Now, we have to ask ourselves the question, had it been smooth sailing going from when they left Caesarea going to Rome, had the winds and the storms, would they have ever become shipwrecked on the island of Malta for these natives to hear the gospel from the preaching of Paul? No. So what we have to understand, the winds of life is going to blow us in directions that we never expected, that we never anticipated. But what we have to understand is wherever the winds of life blow us and take us, we have to understand that whatever circumstance that we are in, that we are to serve the true and the living God in whatever peril we're in, whatever circumstance we're in, and serve God and understand that their circumstances does not determine whether God is with us and whether God loves us. We have to understand that. And that's what Paul did. These storms took him to this island. He was shipwrecked on this island, but he continued to serve the one true living God. And we know as we go down in the scripture, the chief man of the island being Publius, his father was sick. His father had a life-threatening sickness. So Paul comes in. He prays, he lays hands on him, and Publius's father is healed. And then that gains so much credibility with Paul being obedient. And then Paul needed supplies to get to continue on his journey. And it says in verse 10, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such great things as were necessary. Now, God will meet our provisions as we need, as long as we're obedient to him and we serve him regardless of the circumstance that we're in. And that's exactly what Paul did. He didn't let his circumstances dictate his service. He continued to be obedient to God the Father and serve him regardless of the circumstances. And then therefore, God met the necessities that he needed to continue on to Rome. And God will fill our needs if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the necessities of life will be met by God the Father. So, as my time is up, the last thought here is, regardless of our circumstances, continue to serve the one true living God. And that is today's message, and I hope it's been a help to you. I'll be back with you next week. This is Joel Martin.